Laura after she had rehearsed that song this past week, and she told me she was going to do something to try to make her mother cry this morning. I think Laura got a little misty-eyed there herself as our kids leave for junior church this morning. I'm going to ask you to find with me Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We're going to be considering verses 21 through 33 this morning in a message that's entitled Equal and Different, okay? I think in the minds of some, when we say something that's different, we automatically make this assumption that if something's different, then something is superior and something is inferior. Well, that's really not the case in God's economy. I'm going to go on record in saying this morning, that just because something is different doesn't make it inferior. Just think of it this way. As I talk about a car and an airplane this morning, let's suppose today that I'm lucky enough, I don't know, the way they're playing, maybe not so lucky, but lucky enough to have red tickets today. Go to Mother's Day game down at Great American Ballpark. Now, there's a couple options for me to be able to get there this morning. Say I want to fly. Now, seeing that I'm more of a Spider-Man type than a Superman type, I'm probably not going to make it there by flying. And what I know is I could do this. I could go down to Lunkin Airport, to Hamilton Airport, Hamilton Fairfield Airport, charter a plane. Plane would fly to Lunkin Airport. There I would have to rent a car. From that rental car, I would go to Great American Ballpark. Or this morning I could get in my Acura and I could drive to the airport. See, just because something is different doesn't make it inferior. Both of the vehicles that I'm talking, or both of the things that I'm talking about there, they get you from point A to point B. They use fossil fuel. Someone drives them. They're designed to carry passengers. But the best way to go to Great American Ballpark this morning is to drive, more likely. But let's say I really get ambitious. I want to go to Miami, Florida. Now, I could drive there, but I would much rather fly. I mean, that's the far superior way. So every one of us knows that a vehicle has its purpose, an airplane has its purpose. So which is better? Is it the plane or is it the car? Well, you have to say that if each is used the way that they're designed to be used, then both have their specific purpose to be used as. Now what we've seen sadly, and I want everyone to hear this morning, what we've seen sadly is this toll on relationships between husbands and wives, based on this whole idea of one is better than the other. It happens in a lot of homes today. The battle of the sexes that have been going on for a number of years declare each other's differences and the superiority over one over the other. Now, one person in a marriage, one, whether it's the male or the female, they want to assert their superiorness or their authority over a situation, not wanting to be outdone by the other. And those are just certainly not, they're just simply not good. The fact is, and here it is, we're different. But I want you to understand that we are equal in the eyes of God. Amazingly, what I have seen, and I've looked at some research, I've done some research on this myself, what I have seen is that those who declare the superiority over one of the other have to, with the science, admit that there are certain things emotionally, physically, that men are good at, and there's certain things emotionally, physically, that women are good at, and they're designed to do so. And it just makes sense to me that one is not stronger than the other, one is not weaker than the other. They are both designed by God's plan to do a specific purpose. So it doesn't mean that they're not equal, it just means that they're just different. So this day, Mother's Day, we're celebrating mothers, okay? And I want us to look at the role of husband and wife here today. So if you have your Bibles, and hopefully you do, look at Ephesians starting in the fifth chapter, verse 21. Now here's what the Word of God says. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. If we were members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. I want us to go back to verse 21, and there's a word there that gets a lot of bad press, and it's the word submit. We get that word from the Greek word hapatazo, and it literally means this, to place in an orderly fashion. From that question, from that arises this question. And here's our first question this morning. Well, who do we submit to? We place things in an orderly fashion. Now, I think that's a great question. Who do we submit to? That's an important question. And I believe it deserves the right answer. And I believe the right answer is right before us where we have read from the Word of God. See, the literal verse 21 and 22 is simply this. Place in order one another in respect for God, to your own husband, just like you show respect to the Lord. It needs to be understood that these verses and the remaining verses outline each person's unique role as husband and as wife. And they are to submit to one another in the relationship. Here are several things I want to show you this morning from the Word of God that's going to strengthen your marriage. It's going to make a better Mother's Day. It will make a better Father's Day. It will make a better day for everyone here today. The first is this. Husbands and wives are equal before the Lord, but they have unique responsibilities in God's economy. That's just simple. It's lengthy, but it's simple. It's just like the illustration we started out with this morning. Which is better, the airplane or the car? Well, neither. A car might try to do what a plane does, but it won't work so well. And a plane may try to do what a car does, and that won't work so well. Listen, God has given us these distinct roles. They're wonderful roles that he's laid out before us. And it simply doesn't mean that one is more valuable than the other. It just means that they're different, and yet they can be equal in the eyes of God. Just as we answer to God as a husband, just as we answer to God, a husband and a wife only answer to each other. We're talking about submitting. Who do I submit to? I submit to my wife. Submitting one to another. Isn't that what it says in verse 21? We forget that part, guys. But I do submit to my wife. There's some things she's pretty smart about. I listen to them. I follow them. She's got some great insight. Tie choice. There are men and women, but there's more men than women, who think that every person on the planet is subordinate to them, you know, the answer to them. And this simply is not biblical. Listen, my wife's not answering any other guy unless that person happens to be her boss. You know, then there's some respect that's due there because of that situation. But the Bible clearly says here, don't miss what the Bible says here. We are to submit one another. Wives, you submit to your husband. Husband, you submit to your wives. Now, ladies, I want you to understand this. You don't owe any other man what you owe your husband. You owe him what we're going to talk about here in a few moments. But you do not owe any other man this. You owe him common courtesy. You owe him Christian respect. Those things are standard for us to have. But you don't answer to any other man like you do to your husband, because your responsibility falls to him, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. Remember, in submitting, there's a standard, and the standard is this. Here it is. How we should respect God. That's our standard. That's the submitting that's being talked about here. Here are two things about this. If you're not submitting one to the other, then you're probably not submitting to God. It just doesn't work out that way. By the way, if you are submitting to God, you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to be led by you. I'm going to follow you. Then guess what? You are going to be submitting to one another. You can't mix them up. You can't separate them. You can't have this great relationship with God and then have this horrible, awful, antagonistic relationship with the one that God's called alongside you. It's not biblical. It's not right. See, our relationship with God and our relationship with our spouses are pretty much simultaneously. They're together. You're not going to have one good and one bad. You're going to have both good, hopefully. So, let's talk about this whole idea. We've talked about who do we submit to. I think that just logically leads us to the next question, which is revealed in the text. What do we do for the other? Guys, you want to find out how to make a Mother's Day that your wife will not forget? Well, I'm going to tell you here. It just makes sense that we need to submit to one another. And in that process of doing that, submitting, we're going to see strengths in our spouse, and we're going to see weaknesses in them, and they're going to see strengths in us, and they're going to see weaknesses in us. But God is not doing what some men and some women, by the way, claim here. He's not laying out a chain of command. Hey, guys, you are not the head honcho at your home. I want you to understand that. You might think you are, but believe me, you are not. Men, that woman that is sitting next to you that you call your wife, I want you to listen carefully. She needs something from you that she should only be receiving from you. I hope I've got your ears. Now, ladies, women, that man that is sitting next to you, he needs something from you that he should only be receiving from you. Now, after years and a few years in the pastoral ministry, here's what I know. Most problems in a marriage can simply be traced back to this: the husband and the wife not fully submitting to their responsibilities. The fact is, most divorces, and by the way, divorced people are not second-class citizens in this church, and they should never be in any church. But that's another message that I'm going to be giving about 4 months from now. The fact is, most divorces, and no one wants to go through a divorce, they have these things as the root of their problem. So I want to talk about these responsibilities. It's not a chain of command. It's the sense of responsibilities that we have in front of us. Now here, we're going to look at the husband first. Well, the husband is responsible for love. You young ladies here that are contemplating marriage, and maybe some of your dads are thinking 20 years from now, and you may be thinking 3 months from now. But listen, your husband owes you this. He's responsible for this, your husband-to-be. If you've been married for 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be, this is your responsibility, man, to your wife. The Bible does point out that the husband is the head of the wife, but let me clarify two things here. Being the head does not mean that you are the dictator. It means that you're the leader. The other is this, that we have this mandate from God's word to submit to one another. So don't lose respect or respective to that. Guys, you want to make this a good Mother's Day every day for your wife? Here's some unconditional things you need to do for your wife. Just as Christ loved the church unconditionally, love your wife unconditionally. Here's the first one, practical thing. Be a servant leader. What does it mean by that? Well, remember that we said being the head does not mean being the dictator. It doesn't mean being the leader. What it means is that the best way to lead in our household is by serving. Christ gives us this wonderful picture in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 25 through 26. And he said to them, "The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who is governed as he who serves." The way to greatness, guys, in your household is this: be the servant of your wife. Now, sometimes we think she's there to serve us, but listen, men, she is in your home for you to serve. That's why she's there. Now this morning, I want all the husbands to stand up this morning. Go ahead and stand up. Every single one of you. Now guys, I came across this amazing story, and actually a scientific report, on how to live longer. You know how you live longer? Don't let your wife nag at you. I mean, it's true. They say, amen? They say men that have nagging wives are twice as likely to die an earlier age. Do you know how to stop? Some of you are laughing. Do you know how to stop her from nagging at you? Let me give it to you here. Do what she's asking. Amen? Amen? Do you want her to stop nagging? Keep standing. Just do what she wants you to do. Maybe it's been, I need you to pick this up. I need you to paint this wall. Whatever it is, I want you to look at me this morning and listen to me very carefully. Whatever it is that she's been nagging on you to do, just simply do it without her asking another time. Don't let her to say it to you Monday. Pastor Mark said to do this. You go home and you start figuring out how to do it. Amen? Now, if you agree with that, say amen. All right, you may be seated. I just lost a lot of the guys here this morning, but I gained a lot of the women. Second thing is giving sacrificial love. Look at that, giving sacrificial love. Christ gave himself, guys, for the church, and we are to give ourselves for our wives. Jesus loved the church so much that he gave himself for her. Here's the practical. We must die to our individuality. Because the two have become one. It's no longer me and her. It's we. It's us. It's a plural pronoun. So let me give you some things that sort of illustrate sacrificial love. Well, it's passionate. Like passion in your marriage? You sacrificially love your wife and you're going to see some passion in your marriage. There is nothing, guys, too precious for you to give up for your wife. Nothing. Period. If the two have become one, then you are responsible for her health, her well-being. And if you're doing something that is causing harm to her, then you are harming yourself in essence. The most important relationship that I have on this planet at this time is sitting right there in this front pew. Her name is Brenda. Now some says, well, you're a pastor of this church. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. No. Y'all can get another pastor. I'm not going to be getting another wife. My most important relationship is her, and I'm going to show you why when we come to the last point this morning. The same is true with you. She's more important than your job. She's more important than your buddies. She's more important than your buddies you might bike with here and there, for those of us that ride around on bicycles or motorcycles or boat or whatever. Not saying you can't have those things. But your most important relationship is why? Your wife. Be passionate about her and see what happens. Second thing, be protective. Your wife is counting on you to protect her because she is the weaker vessel from what we read here. The Bible tells us if we aren't taking care of ourselves as men, and it's important to take care of yourself, then we will not take care of the ones we are responsible for. And that woman that you call your wife, you are responsible for. The wife needs to see that you take care of yourself. You need to take good care of yourself. And there you can take care of her as well. By the way, that again does not mean that she is inferior. It just means that she is different and she is counting on you. And by the way, there's some things you need to count on her that we're going to get to in a few moments. Silk is certainly weaker than duck cloth, but it's not inferior. Gold is simply weaker than stainless steel, but it's not inferior. Do your best to protect your wife emotionally, spiritually, physically, and you're going to have a whole lot better marriage. You're going to make a better Mother's Day. Here's the third thing, providing. We provide for her, it tells us in verse 28, just like we're providing for our own body. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. The two have become one. In verse 29, we're to cherish her. That word cherish in the Greek means to warmth, to provide warmth. To cherish her, provide warmth for her. And there's something wrong with a guy that will simply not provide for his family, provide for his wife. Men, there's something that you can take to your bank here. Listen to me very carefully. Most women would rather be in a marriage where the man is passionate about his love toward his wife. He is protective toward her. He is providing for her. Try to satisfy your wife, guys, and you're going to strangely find somehow, some way, you're satisfying yourself. Now, let's think about the women here this morning, the moms and the wives. Here's your responsibility this morning. It's simply respect. Sometimes it's hard to do that. Ladies, in verse 33, we have something. I want you to look at verse 33. And here's what it says, right before us. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Underline that word, respect. We get that from the Greek word phobo. And it simply means, it can mean fear, but the way that it's structured here in the sentence, it simply means reverence, it means respect. Think of it this way. There are healthy fears, and there are unhealthy fears. A healthy fear would be if I'm climbing up a ladder, I want to make sure it's secure, I make sure it's not slipping out from under me. That's respectful. That is a healthy fear. But an unhealthy fear would be if somebody put a mouse up here and I would pull my skirt up and run away. That would not be a healthy fear, okay? That's not the fear that it's talking about there. Ladies, the most cherished gift that your husband can ever receive from you is simply your respect. Oh, he'll shine. I mean, it will do things for him and for you that you can't even begin to imagine. Now, some of you are sitting here, some of you ladies are sitting here, you say, Pastor Mark, you don't know my husband. You know, he gets in the car and then something happens and he locks the doors and there's these strange odors and noises that are coming out and it begins to smell really bad in there. And you don't know my husband. He just makes it hard for me to respect him. Well, ladies, let me say to you, by the way, that's normal. God tells you to respect him. And if you respect him, I know this. It's going to make him feel like $1 million. It's going to do something for him. Now, ladies, here's some things that you can practice. Say this to him. You do that so well. Can you say that with me? You do that so well. Let's say that in 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You do that so well. Say it just like that too, okay? He'll love that, by the way. Say things like, I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you're my man. If you want to see the best that comes to come out of your husband, then try being positive, try being respectful, and watch him shine, even when he doesn't know deserve it. I'll tell you the times that I have been putts, and there have been hundreds of times I've done that, and my wife has still been respectful to me. It has put me in a position with her that there's no one that could ever take her place. There's no one that could ever take your place, Brenda, in my heart, because of the way that you've treated me. Now, ladies, if you want your husband to feel that way toward you, it's not going to be a perfect marriage. You're going to have your problems. Be respectful to him and watch him go and watch him grow. All right? I hope you got a pretty good handle on that. Guys, again, husbands, unconditionally love your wife. Wives, give respect to your husbands. Now, today I want us to consider the last point as we close some things out this morning. And really, this is the most important point of all the ones that I've shared this morning. What's the real point of submitting? Well, here's what happens in this passage. We get caught up in the passage and we want these great, awesome marriages. We all want the wife that is wonderful. She's dynamic. We want that husband that's passionate about things. And we begin to focus on ourselves. We begin to focus, well, it's all about me. Well, the text clearly points out the real point in submitting is not just this superficial interest of ourself. It's a picture of something great. It's a revelation of the divine. It's a testimony of what's to come. It's a revelation of the divine. It's the undeniable power of God on display to a lost and a dying world. There are some things, listen to me, that can never be supported any other way in God's kingdom than other than Christian biblical marriage. What do I mean by that? Well, God has chosen to reveal his glory through his calling of man and woman together. And that's why I cannot support anything other than biblical marriage between a man and a woman. See, verse 32, Paul points out that the union of husband and wife is a mystery concerning Christ and his church. So let's be clear about what the focus of the passage is about. We see these subpoints here, but the main point of the passage is about revealing Christ and his church. 20 years from now, at 52, I might, or 53 years old, I might still be around, but let's say 40 years from now, the Lord tarries his return. I seriously doubt at 90 I'm going to be around. Seriously doubt that. I don't know that Brenda will be here either. Our marriage will be gone, be done away with. But the important thing about our marriage is, what did we reveal about Christ and his church? That's the thing that's going to live on. I want you to understand, from submitting, our marriage is saying something about God. Now, it's either good or bad. So what's your marriage saying about God? Is it good or is it bad or is it indifferent? Because if it's indifferent, it's really not saying anything good at all. Second thing is, God has specifically chosen to reveal some things about himself through marriage. He's chosen to reveal his unconditional love. He has also chosen to reveal his creative order, his provision for the future. Christian marriage can and should reveal those things and many more. Then, here's the last thing this morning. We simply exist to reveal God's glory. We can't lose perspective on that. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 7, here's what he writes. The Shakespeare of the Old Testament, as one scholar calls him. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. The glory of God is the beauty of his spirit. And we see his beauty and his attributes revealed through some of the things we do in our marriage. Think deep and long on this. Our unlimited God, he has no limits, he has no bounds. Everything that we can think about him, we can never begin to think all there is to think about him. He's unlimitless. But he has chosen, through your marriage, to reveal some of the things about himself, certain attributes about himself. He has chosen to reveal the idea of service. He has chosen to reveal that in humanity there rests some clear things that we can see. Our marriage has been chosen to unveil the relationship between Christ and his church. That should spurn us all to want to be more Christ-like and more biblical in what we, the way that we handle our marriage. So we need to understand we do our best to follow our responsibilities in our marriage. And the goodness that comes out of that is just a plus. Because ultimately, we're doing it for the glory of God. Really, the great marriage is just a byproduct of living for the glory of God. That's the way I see this. Every one of us exists for the glory of God, and we are never more fulfilled than we are when we are displaying his glory, his fame through our lives. So in conclusion here today, in marriage, we're called to be one in Christ, different but equal. His eyes look on us, and he realizes that we have this particular set of skill sets, responsibilities. But God has chosen to make us different, that he might make us one in his Son. Let's all stand. I want you to see the today's takeaways on the screen here today. Everyone, look at these. Now, we don't enter into marriage for what we can get. Amen? Maybe you did. You need to fix it. We enter into marriage for what we can give. Guys, that goes especially to you this morning. We need to understand that we're equal and we're different. Those things can occur simultaneously in God's kingdom, equal and different. I didn't say equal but different. I said equal and different. Before the eyes of God, that he can make us one in him. And the third, marriage isn't about me. It really isn't. It's about Christ. It's about his church. So get over that self-serving narcissistic idea that the sun rises and sets on everything in your universe, because it's not true. It's for His glory. It's for His fame. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You that You've loved us. Thank You that You have chosen to reveal some things through our weakness, through our frailty, and through the foolish things, the weak things of the world. You have chosen to bind the strong, confuse the wise. The world thinks it has answers to a lot of things that I've talked about today, that Your word is really laid out really clear. But ultimately, Lord, we know that the only way is Your way. First and foremost, through salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, by following Your commands, by living a life out that's reflective of You. And Lord, for each of us, that's going to look different. We understand that. I hope everyone in this room understands that, that while You have made us different, You've made us equal, and there's some things that are right for some, there's some things that are wrong for others, but ultimately, Father, You get the glory, and we praise You for that. I pray for the mothers here today. I pray that their husbands are going to follow through with some of the things that they have been challenged to do this morning, that they're going to make their wife a priority in their life, that that wife is going to know that their husband loves them and is willing to do everything that he possibly can for her and the family. And I pray for the wives here today, that they're going to do something, Lord, that's going to make a big difference in their husband's life. They're going to respect him. They're going to offer just a respect toward him and say things to him and recognize some good qualities that You've given him. And Lord, try to just overlook some of the flaws, because we all have them. We want to behold the mote in someone else's eye and never considering the beam in our own eye. And it's just an awful, awful thing when we do that. So I pray for the wives this morning to just to be respectful, and for just marriages, Lord, that aren't just about being good marriages. Marriages that ultimately reveal the love that Christ has for His church, that He has for humanity. And we pray for that in Christ's name, amen. I want to thank you.